You're listening to Fakeologists Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologists.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologists.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio. Sure, we can continue this in the live stream, no problem. Look at Rolo hanging out in the green room.
Yeah, I think Rolo is now smoking. Am I too loud up?
No.
No, okay. I just saw that, maybe you didn't see that, there was a hoax video about Zuckerberg that circulated yesterday, I think.
About who?
About Mark Zuckerberg.
Oh, okay.
Zuckerberg, where it's an obvious sim, it's an obvious manipulated simulation.
Oh, right, with the ears?
No, with the mouth, and he's saying that he decided to close down Facebook, and he's very sorry because he realized, blah, blah, and it's so funny. It went viral.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, I have put it in the live stream show notes just now. I forgot to mention it earlier.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. All right, I'm just editing the
Hey, Rolo.
Just 55. Rolo's there.
Great show, guys.
You like it?
Yeah, I like that a lot. Sometimes you get better shows, sometimes you don't. I mean,
you never know. The topic.
Yeah, I think you, especially you fakeologists, because I did feel for you, because, again, any of the kids' psyops, like when you talk about Sandy Hook or the bloody Parkland or the one that you're on, you're going to cop it because that's the latest thing. It's hard to question the kiddie psyops. It's so hard. All right. Mm-hmm. Sandy Hook's a bit easier, but,
what kiddie psyops?
I mean, you have expertise on driving a truck and you know what happens in a truck in an accident. And I watched that bloody, tractor trying to pull that fucking truck out.
Yeah.
So I understand the powers that should not be, if we're going to call them, use kids because it's harder to question. And when Humble and Fred were so emotional, whereas Ab, you're not an emotional guy. You're pretty cold.
Why is he not emotional? Why do you know that?
Because I know the way I've talked to Ab for 6 years. So I understand the way Ab, because Ab does it, you've got to do it logically and without emotion. It's like Chris Kendall.
I'm more Spock-like.
You've got to be in logic. Sorry, Ab.
Spock-like. I'm Spock-like.
Spock-like, yeah, a bit Spock-like.
Yeah, you can call me Spock-like. I won't be a...
No, that's okay. But, well, that's a little joke there from Ab, see?
Yeah.
So you do have a little sense of humor, but you're in such hard territory when you're analyzing the media all over the world. And same with you, Faye. You're going to be scrutinized, and I've always appreciated that because I'll say it again, you interviewing Simon Shack for that first time, and I was so pissed off with 9/11 and how they got away with it, and I'll say it again, that if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be here now. Lord Trollo would not been trolling you for 6 years now, so... It's more disgusting now that they use the kiddie ones like this David Hogg thing. And he changes his story so many friggin' times. He's not to be believed. He's angry little twerp that
is
doesn't fit into a suit.
Is anyone following him still?
Yes, around? I have been keeping an eye on him because I want to know what he's up to.
Oh,
it was
my
the same
goodness,
with Sandy Hook. That creepy Gene Rosen could not get a story straight 5 or 6 times. He was hopeless. And you had Wayne Carver, who was a giggling imbecile. And then you had the guy, Robbie Parker, who laughed, who's supposed to have lost a 2-year-old kid. I mean, what the fuck are these people trying to do to us when they're mm-hmm. using these kiddie styles? Now, what they were trying to actually get out of, it does look dodgy as shit, this one in Canada. And what do you think their ultimate aim is on that one, do you think, Ab? Is there an ultimate aim? Why would you Fakers, like, they spread those sacks out so evenly, you know, or whatever they were, sacks of...
They're bales of peat moss, and I can see how somebody thought they were Photoshopped, because I can see how one might look at that fuzzy picture of the two vehicles laying down side by side, almost like they're sleeping together.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see that.
Clean the picture, that's why I think.
Yeah, and there was, that picture was portrayed from a helicopter as well, a very herky-jerky video, so I'm not too sure what we were watching. I know Zyle doesn't think it's Photoshop, but someone else did. I don't know who put that in. But I haven't looked at it enough to make a judgment. Not that it's even really that important, because we know this is a fabricated scene one way or the other. Mm. Okay? It's just not realistic in any way.
Mm-hmm.
And especially...
But this is the thing, though. But how dare you question it? How dare you question it, Humble and Fred? I don't know if Humble and Fred are into media watch, or they're just part of the media. Are they just like your No Agenda guys, Turks, or your, you know, those sort of guys? What the hell is the difference between them and, sorry, Faye, what's the difference between them and Fox News? I don't see any difference between Humble and Fred, No Agenda, or Fox News, or CNN. I don't see any difference.
I agree.
Because
they
don't question anything. And if you do, and you had the temerity to do it, and then they're saying, what a disgusting, despicable human being you are, Ab.
What a patience today, Rolo.
Sorry? No, I get pissed off when Ab is like trying his best. To expose the media and what a lying bunch of scumbags they are, and you got Humble and Fred who just take it off AP and Reuters and don't question it. And the same with they say they do, but they don't. The No Agenda guys, Chris Dvorak, John Dvorak, and that other guy. They say they don't have an agenda, but they do. The only one who does it, sort of does it, is Alex Jones. And he's a fucking fruitcake. And he's a you can't go to him.
Yeah, he's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, he's crazy. So then we all get lumped in with
Faye react. That was a very good speech. Very good, Rolo. Your passion unmatched.
Thanks, Rolo.
Unmatched.
Thanks for the patience.
But I did enjoy 55 today. 55 today was unemotional. And very, very calm. A lot of subjects. I enjoyed it all.
I don't take that as a compliment when you say unemotional.
Well, unemotional is in you I'm just kidding. Do it logically, just like Chris Kendall does it. Like just a Chris Kendall. I did enjoy water. I was always going to call him waterboard man. Water man. Waterboard man is not right, is it? What was his name again?
Waterman
Chris. Yeah, how he said he found fakeologists through that drunk roller. It's not real. Have you got the sound bite there now? Come on, you will love to play it.
You've got a lot of plugs.
It's not real. There it is.
It is not real.
You've got your soundboard. You've got that one ready to go.
You know what I found in the old audios? I found a clip with the laugh of Tom D27.
Mm.
Oh, I got one of those.
Oh, Tom Galbraith, he's a classic.
Tom Galbraith. That's fantastic when he laughs. Yeah,
that's how he laughs.
Wow. Rolo's his own sound effect machine.
Rolo, would you like to do the next 55 with us?
No, I can't. I did what's the thing I like today? What did Ab say today? I don't want to be, what was it?
Obliged.
Well, we do thank Velocet. We do thank all the new Velocet and who else? The new contributors. There he is. That's the real one. That's Tom Dalton from Nutmeg. Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
He won't stop, will he?
This is another one I like.
Nothing funny.
This is the Uncle Giggles.
Yeah. Hey, you've got them all. Hold on, have you got who's the guy in the wheelchair? Have you got him on the line today?
That's a good one. That's a good
remember
one.
That, you remember the day that I was called a blockhead bastard by John Laws and we were having that chat with Tom? You had old mate on the line.
Yes.
And apparently he just passed away that day. I forgot his name already. Apparently the Big Bang guy. I forgot.
Can't remember his name.
I know. I've got his book. Stephen Hawking. I tried to read it, but Christ almighty. Have you tried to read it, Ab?
Really? No.
It's impossible to read. There's three pages, honestly, that is basically allegory-like that you can understand. Otherwise, it's gobbledygook from start to finish.
Yeah.
I don't know how Neil deGrasse Tyson tries to explain it, but he's so poetic.
You can piss off.
Oh, thank you, John.
You can piss off.
Yeah. You like that one?
That is a good one. I like
it. Yeah, it is a good one. But anyway, like I said, when people support you
Think College is 55, it's not really meant to go in depth. Really, you know, I just want to get the voice out there on a weekly basis, and we didn't even touch on really any of the good little baby hoaxes, because really, what do we have every week? We have baby hoaxes that are brought to us every week. The Southwest plane story, that was today's story.
What happened there? Some woman got sucked out, or what was that?
Exactly. I mean, it's just all nonsense. Yeah. It makes no sense. We don't even get a good.
I don't like the expression that baby hoaxes, because that's John Le Bon talking down to us. I really don't like John Le Bon when he does that. Like, you're just talking about baby hoaxes, and John Le Bon has this air of superiority that I don't think he should have, because. Like,
maybe he is
Ab and me and Faye are 20 years older than him. We've got a lot of experience in media fakery. And John's got a little bit of, he did a little bit of philosophy. And
age, I was too much more arrogant than John Le Bon is now.
I missed that, Faye. Who's more arrogant?
I said, in that age that John Le Bon is now, I was much more arrogant
than he is now,
you know. I mean, it comes with the age that you realize that you are not so important.
Okay.
One question, Rollo, did you hear about the story that Alex Jones is being sued by Sandy Hook's parents?
Yeah, that's that Lenny Posner. Lenny Posner has got no... Like, Lenny Posner now, if you ever see him on the news, they black him out. You know how they do that on television now? Like he's a silhouette. He won't even put his face out there anymore. This Lenny and Noah Posner is his boy that is supposed to die. We know Sandy Hook was a staged horrible, horrible hoax. I'll be interested to see how it plays out. Look, Alex Jones, I've got not a lot of love for Alex Jones because, you know why? Because he makes anyone who questions the media look bad. This Noah, he's just worst. Noah Posner is just, he's just the worst of the worst. I know because of that Robbie Parker. Once you saw Robbie Parker smiling and giggling and then go into cry mode, you knew that whole thing was a sham. And so
do you see there some anything I mean, it was only a thought of mine.
I see
since the Las Vegas hoax and till all the intermediate and now this point with Alex Jones is being sued for defamation. I see something like a political background in all these hoaxes. I see, Alex Jones is, for example, he has a press pass for the White House. He's actually, since the pre-election time, he's on the side quasi of Trump. Then Las Vegas was also brought into some political context that,
But this is the way I look at it. I know radio. I've been studying radio for years, and it's the same thing with John Laws. 1-300-564-652, or should I say 1-300 John Laws Velocet. He's the same deal. Alex Jones, when he's ever under the pump, just says, "I'm an entertainer. That's all I am. I'm here to entertain. He's not there as a journalist. And John Laws, always when he's under the pump, they try to, for the most part, say that they're journalists or they're news analysts or news people. But at the end of the day, that's all they are entertainers. That's all Alex Jones is, and that's all John Laws is. Now, we have, like I said, we have this David Pakman, who interviewed Alex Jones's wife. She threw him under the bus. And Pakman, I don't trust one bit. I don't trust the Young Turks. I don't trust any of those internet sort of news, alternative news, Russian, what's that called? Russian Today or whatever it is. I don't trust any of those guys. But as Ab always says, you get nuggets here and there. And if you get nuggets here and there, bring them over here to Fakeologists and we'll have a look at them. And that's what you guys do. Just look at the nuggets. Forget all the bullshit, because there's tons of fucking bullshit out there. Let that go and just, yeah, analyze the nuggets is what you do, Faye. You do it very well, I must say.
Thank you.
Yeah. And so does Velocet, by the way. Velocet's a very...
great guy, too. With the interview that he did with App, or was it an audio chat? Don't remember. And he has a great voice, and he speaks very easy.
Yeah,
he's talented.
He was a sound engineer for Kiss FM.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a sound engineer. But he's also got a good radio voice. But unfortunately, he's not an idiot like Kyle Sandilands, who he used to work for, that moron. But anyway, thank goodness we've got Belisette here and not Kyle Sandilands, because otherwise... I'll tell you a funny story. Kyle Sandilands... used to run a show with a girl called Jackie O, and they used to go and hijack festivals, music festivals, and they went up to Darwin one time, and what was the band? Friends of Rom were playing, and Jackie O was up there and trying to hijack the festival, as a lot of FM stations try to do. Friends of Rom started playing and telling her to get the fuck off the stage. She started crying. Kyle Sandilands did an interview with her, like the next Monday or something. And this is how hopeless the guy is. Like, Friends of Rom is like a band that will never, ever get played on any FM station, not even Triple M, maybe Triple J. Now, you probably don't understand any of this. Triple J is a little bit alternative here in Australia. But Kyle Sandilands is so hopeless. He said, because he made Jackie O cry, he wanted to punch lead singer of Friends of Rom in the face. He says that on the air. And then the Friends of Rom guys goes, look, that's it. Typical. Typical. Once you're under the pump, you just go to physical violence. That's all you want to do. And that's the way of the world. And it's these voices, people like Kyle Sandilands, that get listened to. And they shouldn't be listened to. And that's the way of the world. Maybe I'm just getting too old and the younger people want that sort of rubbish radio talk. Anyway, that's why I kind of stick over here and listen to you guys and listen to, just a few. I'm very discerning on what podcasts I'll listen to now. I'll listen to whenever Chris Kendall does his stuff.
Did you listen to the latest of Chris?
Yeah, I was on it. I was on it.
No. He did one more.
Oh, I haven't listened. No, I haven't. I'll do that now. Thank you.
I think it was yesterday or the day before, maybe.
Yeah, sure. I'll listen to it for sure.
What
did he talk about?
In the beginning, he talks about culture as a farm, as a cultural paradigm. From a book that he used, I don't remember the title. That's only a small part, and then he talks about nutrition, about veganism, etc.
Sure.
The care for the self, let's say, in political terms.
Wonderful.
You know, Wonderful. I
look
I don't
forward
know.
To listening to it. Yeah.
I have to say, you know, entertainment radio or audio or whatever it is called, it is boring for me. I cannot listen long time for it. I like really discussions or interesting stuff.
Well, there's plenty of people who are listening to Radio 55. Let's invite any of them in. John LeBond's there if he wants to come in, or Rick. be like Vic or anyone else, I'm going to go for a cigarette for, 5 minutes.
Yeah, and I wait here till you come back or till the others come back.
Okay. So I'll be back.
Yeah, sure.
Love you. I
love you too, Rollo.
Oh, good idea.
I can
one more.
Okay. Go for a cigarette only.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I'm here in the live stream, and I do an invitation to whom I see now that is green on the Discord. That is Abyss, an ounce of salt per day, Chris746, Dave J is not green, El Sushi also not, Freya, Original Simulant, Starburst, Taste of Freedom, The Red Lion, Tryptamine, Delcroix, John LeBon, let me see who else. This doesn't go down. Why? Friends, if you would like to chat a little bit, I woke up 2 hours ago, so I will not go gonna sleep anytime soon. Come into the live stream and let us chat about Alex Jones, for example. I see Antipodean is there. Anti, if you can hear me, come into the live stream. And who else? Indio 007? Okay. 007, but he has a picture in his avatar from Kill Bill, this karate or kung fu master. Lolbuzz? Questioning our reality. Hey, questioning, come into the live stream if you can hear me. Rubulisk, great historian. I listened to an older interview that he did some years ago, and he has very interesting knowledge about really historical knowledge from alternative historical point of view. I'm very interested in that. And there is an avatar which I've never seen again, Win, W-I-N-N. Okay, so Rollo went to the balcony to smoke, and I will smoke in my living room with open window, as always. Okay, I'll talk about this Alex Jones stuff, because it was bothering my mind. Of course, it is a pro forma accusation when Alex Jones is accused of being of defaming Sandy Hook's parents, etc. This is not that it is believed that he is defaming. He is a representative for that part of the so-called alternative media, which are part of the narrative. It's the intern opposition in the narrative, which is the motor of the conflict. We know that there is no development in any story without a conflict, and so you have always to have two parts, and Alex Jones is that part. But it was interesting that that after this accusation of Alex Jones, who took position about this topic? It was first of all Jim Fetzer, who said, come and sue me and not Alex Jones. Mm-hmm. That's the hysterical position that he represents always. Maybe he's the EGI, because it's quite feminine, his hysterical attitude, in Freudian terms, though. Mm-hmm. And the other one was Kevin Barrett, who also did a show about Alex Jones being sued and all this stuff. What do you think about that, Rollo? If you want to say, or we can also join.
I don't want to get into the suing part. I just want to, the people I like, I like the Mark Dukowski guy you spoke to that time.
Yeah.
I like the Paul Romano from, where's Paul Romano from? You know, those people that are.
Who was that?
And even Chris Kendall, in his own way, has kind of mental issues. I don't want to be hard on Chris, but he's spoke to some vegans and smashed up his rig or something at Christmas time. So none of us are perfect.
We don't know that.
We don't know that, so maybe that didn't happen, but that's what
and
I got told.
From what I am hearing of him, I don't hear any mental issues. I hear only
He seems fine to me. He seems fine, and I will give him more time in the world. I wouldn't ring him if I didn't enjoy what he does. I only call people like I call John Laws because I enjoy John Laws. And hopefully everything's cool with his partner in crime. Anyway, yeah.
I'm not sure.
I don't want to talk about that. But let's talk about Alex Jones, and let's talk about let's talk about these people. These are the ones that he makes us all look bad. Anyone who questions, because he's like easily called a conspiracy theorist. This Chris Pacman guy just. Or the guys over at Young Turks, they just call him a conspiracy theorist. And Alex Jones, when he's on his game sometimes, does good stuff. But Alex Jones had the perfect opportunity when he spoke to Donald Trump just before he became president to ask him, because Alex Jones's raison d'etre is 9/11 was an inside job. How many times have we heard him? He did that for years, you know, controlled demolitions and that. And did he ask Donald Trump anything about that? He didn't do it. So he was either a pussy or he's in on it. Why wouldn't he ask Donald Trump about 9/11 being an inside job when he had the opportunity? Or was he told, you cannot answer that? And there's lots of other people saying that he's a Zionist shill, that he won't question... You know,
Alex
the,
Jones
the,
is a Zionist?
Yes,
okay.
Shill. Yeah, there's lots of people that have made... But Alex Jones is such a nutcase most of the time. All the
you
good
know,
stuff
think,
just gets lost.
You interpret him as a person, you know, and you have to...
And not a character. He's a character. Yeah, you're right.
He's a character. And as a character, you don't do what you feel or what you believe or what you stand for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
just...
It's just a shame, that's all. I mean, I just... Like, the guy I really liked was Bill Cooper. He might have been a bit before your time, Bill Cooper. He did a Sign of the Times... on SAM radio or on, what do you call it, shortwave. I think it was called Sign of the Times or something. And he was a guy I really liked. And don't get me wrong, I really like John LeBron. I think John LeBron is quite square-headed. And, he can annoy people. Can't we all? What do you reckon, Faye? Can't every one of us do it? We can't all think exactly the same way, but...
of course not.
I think, as Ab quite fairly said, he's not into the paywall model, but if that's the way John LeBron wants to run it, good luck to him and see how he goes with it. But, I like John from the start.
You are a little bit confused sometimes about this topic. Maybe you have to think a little bit more about it to have a clearer position for yourself.
What do you mean? What topic? I think about it all the time.
Yes, okay. Yeah, maybe you cannot decide what you want to prefer or something.
Well, where do you think I'm confused?
About this with John LeBron, and it is so ambivalent, your position.
Ambivalent?
Yes, ambivalent.
Yeah. I'll just state it quite clearly. He used to run the...
Actually, you endorse many of the things that he does, isn't it?
I do. But he's also a professional agitator. He just agitates, sometimes arguing for the sake of arguing. That's just my opinion.
Oh, okay. Accept it. Yeah, so he's...
No, not to say that he's... Look, I'm not saying he's not well-read and he calls himself a philosopher and he's done philosophy and read lots of books and all that, but I'm just telling you that I've been knocking around this planet 20 more years than he has, and I know how disgusting liars the media are. Ab played this thing with you on Radio 55 last week with all the media in America was saying this one thing, you scream ice cream, you know the rest, or something like that. You remember where they all said the same thing on every channel?
Mm.
But, yeah, that's we know that. And in Australia, John Lebon quite openly said, Tony Jones is this ABC media whore that gets paid $500,000 a year to lie. Good luck to him. And John Lebon said, if he had the chance, he would do it too. You know what I mean? He said that. He'd do it. He'd turn to the dark side. I wouldn't. I wouldn't. No way.
I don't know.
You could give me all the money in the world. You give me $10 million. I wouldn't turn to the dark side. What am I going to do with $10 million, Faye? Buy more cups of coffee with milk and sugar, which is your... That's your poison, right? And a couple of cigarettes. Do you smoke, Faye? You smoke, don't you?
I'm smoking, yeah.
Yeah.
Cigarettes.
You smoke a cigarette? Yeah, there's nothing wrong with a cigarette.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
It's very wrong, Rolo. It's unhealthy.
No, it's not. That's only the media lying to
me. You know, I don't know. I don't know if there is a black side and a white side. Actually, I don't believe it. I believe it is very colored and it is very... Many, many nuances, and every one of us has many nuances also.
Yeah.
And personally, I have experienced that with people, that they start as something alternative or even revolutionary or extraordinary or blah, 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 and then it turns to something else, and that's life. And as long
that's
as it is good, it is
right.
Okay, and then you can...
That's right. That's what Alex Jones did. Alex Jones, exactly what you were talking about.
Alex Jones is not that. Alex Jones is a character. It's a setup. It's a difference.
No, I'm not talking... No, I'm talking about something different here. Listen, in 1999, with the Y2K thing that was set up, do you know about that, where the two digits, four digits computers and whatnot...
Oh, yeah.
He said that the Russians were going to bomb this, that, and the other. He was younger then. And then the 9/11 thing came along, and then went through 2003-4, Jason Vermuth, and then that other guy, Luke Radowski. They all worked for him. And then they were doing the, what was it, 9/11 was an inside job and controlled demolition stuff. And
when
then in
Alex
recent
Jones
times...
Did he start in 99? Alex Jones?
Yeah, 90... Well, actually... When he was really getting started, his wife was telling him how he got his start with the Waco thing in when they burned all those women and children in Waco.
93.
Yeah.
Really?
So he was really young then. Yeah.
Okay.
But he really didn't get big until him and Bill Cooper went at it with the Y2K, because Bill and him. Went back and forward, and he just told blatant lies about Bill Cooper. Bill Cooper didn't do anything wrong as far as I'm concerned. I think Bill Cooper was just one of the true American patriots, and Alex Jones was just a young punk and just told lies and was a fearmonger. And Bill Cooper was never that way. Bill Cooper was all right. He was a little bit... I've read his book, and, you know, aliens coming out of the ocean and stuff like that. I mean, that's. I'm not sure about that.
I've heard that story. I thought they came from the universe.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, let's forgive Bill for that. But he did an 8-hour broadcast.
Yeah. When you become big, you become attractive also. Attractive in that market sense.
Yes.
So you get offers. And you have to decline the offers or you take the offers.
Sure.
It's difficult to decline the offers, because if you would like to decline the offers, you would try to avoid to become big. So, you know, in actually, it's somehow it's the pattern how the system works. So either you try to not become big in order to not become seduced.
Stay under the radar. Yeah, seduced and stay under the radar.
Stay under the radar, or how you call it. And in order to do that, you have to have already much experience. So when you start, for example, with 25, to do such a thing as, I don't know, alternative research or whatever, you do not have this insight or this awareness about the risks that you do expose yourself to with your decisions.
Sure. Well, Faye, I've always looked at it this way. This is the way I look at it, Faye. I've always looked at it as I've got nothing to lose. I've got nothing to lose. No.
What do you mean?
When it comes to telling the truth, I've got nothing to lose. So that means I don't need to be whatever compromised. You know how people get most politicians are compromised somehow. And then they have to, once you've compromised, say that they've got video footage of you sleeping with hookers or something like that, you're going to do what you're told, aren't you? Otherwise, we'll release it to the public.
You know, most of them do what they have to do without being, blackmailed.
Blackmailed,
because they like it.
They like the power, the little bit of power that they have.
I don't really understand why they do it, because... it is a big difference. You know, if you want to say that you are good and you have to make decisions for about whom you know that they are not good, you have to live with that difference, with that, how is it called, with that gap.
The greater good, is that what you're talking about, that they make decisions for the greater good?
I'm talking, for example, about parliamentarians who vote for an invasion in Bosnia. In Germany, in the parliament. And they say they are left, or they are good, they are green, they are whatever. But they vote for a military operation in another country. They have to live with that gap in their self-understanding. And I cannot grasp how they manage to live with that contradiction.
The world we live in, as we know, is a corporation. It's been corporatized for many, many years now. I mean... I think it was around 1960 when that bald guy, just before Kennedy got in, he said the military industrial complex. I forgot his name, but he seemed pretty cool to me. But it was probably corporatized way before then, way back. Probably the Rockefellers when they were knocking around, or the Rothschilds probably in England when they were. What did that old man Rothschild say? Give me control of the money supply, and I care not who makes its laws. I mean, sounds right to me. You print the money. Who gives a shit? If you print the money, if you're in control of that, and that's why they went into Libya and they smashed that apart and then created a reserve bank. And, any country that, in Iran, I think, don't they have their own banking system so they don't have to worry? So that's why they want to go and smash Iran apart.
I'm not sure they have a separate, they have other rules. There is something like Islamic or Muslim banking, and it has expanded also in the West. And the difference between that one and the Western one is that in the Muslim banking system, you do not have something like credit and
usury.
You are a part of that project that you finance.
The money is just is for a trader thing where you can't make money on money. Usury, it's a very Jewish thing, isn't it?
It's not Jewish.
Not a Jewish or Zionist. Sorry, Zionist.
Oh, it's also not Zionist. It's
whoever's in charge. All right, I shouldn't put a label on it. But,
I mean historically, it's not about the label; it's only about the history. It started in Venice, Venedig, or how you say it in English, and it started because
the Venetians.
The Venetians. It started because of the social, let's say, need for expansion and arrangement of new territory and new markets and new products. That was all this thing with the ships that went to India and the ships that went to with the Columbus narratives, etc.
Sure.
And the model was that it was financed by some rich guys Most of the rich guys were somehow in the church or were big landowners.
Mm-hmm.
And they financed the ship and the guys who were on the ship, the ship crew.
Mm-hmm.
And when they got back, they had to compensate. And that's how the credit system started, to compensate what you got in this. In the start of the travel, you had to bring back products, you had to bring back spices or other material goods, etc. And from that was the banking system that we know with the interest created. Mm. But what we have today is we have a systemic art of investing in something that doesn't have any result because it's virtual. You invest in, for example, you can invest and bet upon the loss of something else.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
destructive.
That's right.
It's
horrible. The things that interest me more, Faye, are almost like, or say the banking system, just, I've said it before many times, in World War II. War is not a hoax. World War II happened, and the Germans did bomb London. But where did they bomb? Did they bomb the banking? Did they bomb Buckingham Palace? Did they bomb St. Paul's Cathedral? Did they bomb any of those pretty buildings? No. They bombed the East End, the poor people.
Mm.
Why did they bomb the poor people? Langley. It's just, it's that simple. And you can look back at it. That's a fact. Like, they said that there was a bomb that landed in the grounds of Buckingham Palace, but, like, fuck me. If the Germans are going to be bombing London, why not flatten all those pretty buildings?
Mm.
You know, if it's not a lie, you know, they flattened Dresden, was that a military target? No, it's civilians.
Civilians.
Bloody horrible. Targets. Horrible. It's always the bloody poor people that
you
that
know
suffer.
What has intrigued me now that you're talking about bombing and film. When Auschwitz was quote-unquote liberated, they were flying over this area. Auschwitz is a whole city. It's not just one building. It's a whole city with industries and workshops and what's it all called. It was a production unity. I knew somebody who was in Auschwitz as a prisoner, the father of a schoolmate of mine. What intrigued me always was that Alfred Hitchcock was the one whom the American liberators brought into Auschwitz to do the filmings in the moment of the entering of the NATO didn't exist. The American forces or the victories or how they did they call them?
A very young Alfred Hitchcock. Yeah.
I don't know how young he was. He was not so young.
I used to when he's like he became fat and bald when he was older. But back in 40, he would have been a very younger man. Is there video footage?
Yeah.
The actual liberation video, if you go back, and I've looked at all of this, memory of the camps, they had the Bergen-Belsen, Dachau, and all the other liberation footage, but they somehow managed to lose the Auschwitz on memory of the camps. If you look at it, they've lost that video footage. I wonder why. Always concerned me. Why did they lose that? They've got apparently some audio. They lost the video. Maybe it wasn't as disastrous or drastic or, good for the propaganda to say that they... Because I am a Holocaust denier, no doubt about it. I deny the Holocaust until the day I die. There's no way that the Germans were systematically gassing. And now that the more and more I know about Steven Spielberg and his dubious past, it turns out he's not a very nice man, and his sexual proclivities if I can use that word, proclivities are really filthy and disgusting, and find that film that he made, what's it, Schindler's List. I call it Swindler's List. It's a disgusting film too, because it's just lies upon lies. And why not? And it turns out, what was one of his first films? Jaws, The Shark. And the Irishman gets killed, but not the two Jews, not Roy Scheider or the other fellow, the other Jewish guy in it. No, the two Jews survive. It's the Irish guy that gets eaten.
Are you anti-Semitic, Rollo?
Anti-Semitic doesn't mean anything to me. Anti-Semitic is a term made up by the Anti-Defamation League and Jewish Defense League. Why isn't there a word for anti-Muslim? Anti-Muslim.
You rationalize it. I want to know if you think that the Jews did it.
I think the Jews try to make out themselves to be victimized when they are the aggressors. I'll give you an example, the Pulse nightclub hoax. And we know that the Pulse nightclub hoax
Just a minute.
Yes, only one question. Sure.
Do you think those that do victimize or present the Jews as victimized are the same as those that are the aggressors?
Very much so.
Okay. So it's one group of the Jews.
Very much so.
Do they have an elite?
In my humble opinion, yes.
Do they have an elite?
Whatever you want to call them, Zionists or whatever. Yeah. They're a club. A club. It's a club. Yeah.
Like the Masons.
Yeah, club. Yeah, Masons club. Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
I know we shouldn't.
So
we
you're
shouldn't
not
say
talking
this.
About Israelis. You're talking about another club.
Here we go.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
And we have to thank, yes, Velocet and A.A. Morris. A.A. Morris is who we really, really appreciate over here at Fakeologist.com. And some of the just recent ones, Cyrano, John LeBon, Hando, Faye, Fast Value, Simon Shack. Yep, everyone who helps out Fakeologist, even a tiny bit or a lot, you're really welcome. Yeah.
Let's talk about Zionism.
Sure. I'm just going to go for a cigarette. You can go for Zionism, and I'll come back and I'll give you my both barrels. On Zionism.
Okay.
Good idea.
I'll be waiting.
I'll be back in 5 minutes, Faye.
Alles klar. Okay, let me see just if I find something. I found a new podcast that I find interesting till now, and I will put it in the chat, in the live stream chat. No, in general. Maybe it's interesting for others also. It's called Citations Needed. It's a podcast about the intersection of media, PR, and power, hosted by Nima Shirazi and Adam Johnson. Okay. I don't know the guys. I have heard only one of these podcasts, and it was very interesting. It was called What the Hell is Wrong with MSNBC? MSNBC is by far the most influential mainstream media outlet on the American left. It sets the tone and defines the boundary for what is acceptable discourse among American liberals. But major issues the left is generally thought to care about, imperial war, worker strikes, Palestine, climate change, are almost entirely absent from coverage, as the network increasingly looks like a 24-hour Trump-Russia infomercial. What is the point of having a liberal? Okay, no, it's not actually fakeological stuff that they bring, but I find it interesting because it is about media function in some, let's say, specific sector. I don't promote it, I just communicate it. Yeah, that's better. And if anyone has any good podcasts to communicate or even to promote, I will be interested in it. I was wondering these days, why do I actually read so much of the American media? And I live in Central Europe. I read the German or some of the German news outlets, etc. And why so much American? And then I realized, it's because it's the empire. I have to know what's going on there. You're back, Rollo.
Yes.
It was only three minutes.
I just had a quick little puff on a cigarette, and my next door neighbor is smashing up some pallets, and I just had a quick word with him. He's Jewish. He's a lovely guy.
If you meet someone, are you Catholic or are you?
I think I would call myself a non-theist. That means nothing, but. My ancestry comes from Ireland. That's why I went to see Delqua and to see the grave of Michael Collins and all of that. So I went and saw all that over with Del.
How cool is that?
I really have no, what do you call it, affiliations when it comes to anything. I just think we should all be human and be nice to one another. Even though, that's the perfect world that I see, or I would like to see. But it's never going to. Well, I don't think it's going to happen. But well, what would we talk about, Faye, if everybody got on one? Well,
we were talking about anti-Semitism.
Anti-Semitism is a funny word, isn't it? That the Jews have managed to. Anytime you question anything that the Jews do. Or the ADL, or the Jewish Defense League, or the Anti-Defamation League. Yeah, you're labeled. It's a label. It's a simple label. That you can be labeled with. And I just think that's the perfect. It's like being the conspiracy word, conspiracy theorist, that was created after John F. Kennedy was killed in 1963, or pretend killed. You're labeled a conspiracy theorist if you question the official story. You know what I mean? It's the same thing, don't you see?
I have a problem with negating. Look, Israel is a country.
Yeah, created by the British in 1945, yes.
Yes. 45 or 48?
It was Palestine before that, and it was a beautiful, beautiful place, and a lot of people British people like holidaying over there, and then it all got messed apart, and now you've got the West Bank and the Gaza Strip and all of that. All the British are responsible. Yeah.
It was created for some purpose, for the empire to have a foot on the ground, or boot on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And the population that went there with ambiguous emotions. Many of the European Jews didn't want to go there.
Mm.
And those who went there went because they didn't have a better solution. Many left Europe and went to the States, and etc., etc. But the main purpose of the empire to create that state was to have a boot on the ground in the Middle East. Would you agree with that?
Why not? oil is the big thing, isn't it? In the Middle East, oil is.
It's the entry door for the Middle East.
Mm. And plus, you throw all the religion out. You know, all the sort of. The Israelis or the Israelites or whatever have this. I don't know enough about it. You way better read than I am, Faye. But
I've never read something about it.
Geopolitics situation to me. I mean, again, I'm a fakeologist. More all concentrated, I think, on media fakery, right? And propaganda and things like that.
It's something simple that I want to say. When someone says the Jews. For me, it's like all Americans are imperialists, you know? It's the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. So again, I've spoken to...
It doesn't work like that. There is a whole country. There are people, they have children, they go to school, they cook every day, they wash their clothes, they have strikes, they cannot pay the rents in the cities. They had also demonstrations and protests, etc. It's not all is military. Not all in Israel is military. Not all is elite. Not all is banking or Hollywood. And not all is MI6 and Mossad. That's what I mean. And in this
Well, I guess we can only analyze the media. And I'm not saying, look, I've spoken to many Americans while I've been here at Fakeologist for the 6 years I've been here. Spoke to many of them, and most of them, I wouldn't say all of them are pleasant. I would say Marcus Allen is the most unpleasant person, and he's a Jew. I disliked Marcus Allen, and who were the ones I liked the most? I like Fakeologists, and I like people like Simon Shack,
Simon Shack religious?
I don't know if Simon Shack wants to bring religion into it. Simon Shack to me is just someone who looks at the video footage, certainly with September 11, and just try and analyze it for the media lies what it was. And we know who runs the media. I mean, it's mostly Jewish people that run it. They're just very good at it.
I don't know that.
Really. In America, there's... Look at both Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, all expressing their love, and they all wear yarmulkes, and they suck up to the Jews so bad. They really do.
But tell me, who owns the media when it is Jewish? You know, everyone says that, but I don't know if it's true. I haven't verified it.
Well, who
owns
Fox? For example, I'll give you an example. How often, like, especially here in Australian media, there was one guy, and he died just recently, that I really liked. His name was Mark Colvin. Mark Colvin was a guy, an Australian guy, and I spoke to him a couple of times, and he used to run the PM program. He was the only one who had the guts to say that the Jewish, are causing a lot of the problems in the Middle East. Mark Colvin, who died young, and I wondered why he died young. I tried to get on to local ABC and ABC in Sydney to express I really did feel the loss, because Mark Colvin was one that would actually stand up and tell the truth on the ABC, because Tony Jones won't do it, Lee Sales won't do it. So we had Mark Colvin, and suddenly he dies young. It was very troubling for me. I like it that where people will, David versus Goliath, even though the David versus Goliath story is a Jewish story where David is a Jew. But that's a classic story to make the Jews out to look like victims when they're the aggressors. They are aggressive.
It's also a very well-founded human experience, because when you come to this world, you are the small, and the parents are the big ones, and there is nothing directly, religious in that. All the religions have patterns that are organically experienced, so I don't see it. They have this...
I guess I do. I don't know. I don't have any, I wasn't brainwashed when I was a kid. I was basically left alone. My father didn't give a shit about me, really, and my mother was just cooked the meals and that. So I just tried to work this stuff out for myself. And then when I went, I got kicked out of home when I was 18. Dad didn't like me, so he said, get the fuck out. And so I went and worked for a bank, and I hated working in banking after 2 or 3 years, and then I had my best time when I was working for a video store. I just worked in a video store, just a simple job, And I got to watch many, many videos, i.e. all of them, in the video store, and got to really like movies and how they were made. And maybe I should have gone to that. Then after that, I went to university. I went to do computer science. Got a lot to meet a lot of really clever people that I knocked around with. And then after that, basically, yeah, just did IT. And then did a lot of video editing, and I'm pretty good at, not as good as Velocet when it comes to sound engineering, but I'm pretty damn good at video editing.
Do you do yourself also videos, Rolo?
What's that? Go again?
Do you do yourself also videos?
Not anymore, but I used to, I used to big time,
And why don't you do anymore?
Oh, it's just, I kind of lost interest in it, and I found more interest in sort of simple radio like this, which is what I liked about exposing the media fakery, and I've kind of liked this ever since, and if I'm going to do anything else in my spare time, I'll do other things, but that's simple. I like honesty, and I don't like duplicity, and I don't like people that are in it for what they can get out of it, which is most politicians. You know, so many people in life are in it for when they can get out of it, whereas I like people who are in it for the love. And when I see people who are in it for the love and not the money, you get a lot more truth, you know? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. All big concepts.
just slightly like big, but now. There you go.
Rolo, we have to find a new partner for you now to speak, because I have to go to sleep.
All right. Well, it's always lovely. Thank you again for Radio 55 today.
Thank you for everything you have done and you are doing still. And see you soon.
You know where I'm going right now? I'll tell you where I'm going. I'm going to go, because I can see Joe and a whole bunch of people in Delquaz Pub. I'm going to go in there and annoy them.
Have a nice day.
You have a nice coffee with milk and sugar.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm LSD33 from Nouveau Brunswick, and you are listening to Fakeologist audio chat live stream on fakeologist.com.